Scripture reading today will be from Psalm 6, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 6, verses 1 through 7. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no resemblance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of my foes.
Sometimes I think we ought to just meditate on the songs that we sing, because they have powerful messages, like the one we just sang, O God, our help in ages past. To think about God as the Creator, the everlasting God, and then to call Him our God. Is that not worthy of our meditation and our praise, that God would make Himself available to us? What a wonderful God we serve, and how worthy He is of all of our praise. It's so good to be with you this morning. We're glad to be together in the presence of God and to know that He knows us, He knows our needs, and one day we'll come home to Him. Of course, our hearts are sore from the unexpected passing of our brother Ron Whitson. We didn't expect that. But how thankful we are that Ron lived a life that was always in a state of readiness, and we can rejoice at the prospects that are before him. Now we have to go forward, and we pray for his family and for all of the friends that are missing him so. Keep them in your prayers. But it's good to be back with you again. I missed you last week when I was in Lancaster, Kentucky. It felt good to breathe some good Kentucky air for a while, but it's good to be back. I love Tennessee, the state, maybe not the team, but I love Tennessee, the state, and I'm so glad to be back home. Thanks to all those who stepped in and filled in for me. I know very, very well in my absence, but it is good to be back with you again. We are, of course, looking forward to next week, particularly because next week is our annual Family and Friends Day, next week. And that's when we hope visitors will come and join us. It's kind of like an open house where people can come in and just look around and see what we're like. We're not going to do anything different other than the meal that we'll have afterwards, but it's just a way to get people to come and see what we do and what we believe. And we really want you to be inviting friends, family, coworkers, neighbors. That's what it's all about. So if you haven't already done it, there are still postcards out there at the welcome centers. You can use that. Drop it in the mail tomorrow. It'll still get there in plenty of time. Or pick up the phone, walk next door, invite. Invite. And if each one of us brought one person, I mean, think of how full this place would be and how great the singing would be. I mean, it's always great, but how much greater. And so let's make it a great day. Let's really do. Let's show our Lord how much we appreciate Him by bringing others to worship with us. And this afternoon, there's the shower, of course, that is going on for Kelly Conrad and the daughter she's expecting very soon. This evening at 6 o'clock, we will meet again for worship. At that time, we're going to raise the question, is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Because if you look at it from one perspective, you might say, that hasn't happened. The world is not at peace. So in what way can we say that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? We're going to look at that, and we hope you'll come back and join us at 6 o'clock. And then one other note, tomorrow night, normally Monday night for the Master, we will not meet for that due to the funeral for Ron Whitson. So take note of that. Now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible, that you will open with me You'll see the passages on the screen, the citations at least, and I'd like for you to turn to that, and then when I read it, you'll see this really is from the Word of God. If it isn't, pay no attention to me, because you don't need my opinions. We need God's Word. So let's begin now thinking in that direction. I'm first going to tell you about a young lady that some of you got acquainted with by television 4 years ago. Her name is Gabby Douglas, and she was a member of the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team, the women's gymnastics team. And she went on to greatness. She became the first American woman to ever win not only the individual all-around gold medal, but also the team gold medal as well. She really distinguished herself by her accomplishments. She released an autobiography sometime after that and revealed that she almost gave it up. She revealed that I was so homesick because in order to train at that level, she had to be with a coach who was extremely good, and that meant she was going to move from her home in Virginia Beach, Virginia, to Iowa. And at the time, she was just a young teenager, and you can imagine how tough that must have been. And then her job at Chick-fil-A, she said, I really missed that. And to think that she almost gave it up, threw in the towel, and would have missed those gold medals. Would that not have been a tragedy of a smaller scale, maybe, but still, look at what she would have missed if she had not endured. Christians on earth are in training for glory. I don't know if you realize that. I hope you do. But that's why we're here on this earth. We are in a training mode right now, and we are preparing for glory. But along the way, we encounter obstacles, we become homesick, we want to go back to the old life that we once had, and many people are just tempted to throw in the towel. They become weary in their walk as Christians. The lesson today is very simple, and I think very needed at this point. Danny noted in his lesson this morning how we've suffered a lot of losses in our family over the last few months. And so what we're trying to say today is very simple. It is from the Word of God. Be not weary. Be not weary. But how can we do that? I mean, with all that has gone on, how can we not feel weariness? And how is it that we can often muster the strength to keep on going? That's what we're going to find out from the Word of God. So let's now begin. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 6. Psalm 6, the passage that Austin read for us a few moments ago. We're going to go back to that, and we're going to talk about how God's people struggle with fatigue and weariness. God's people struggle with fatigue and weariness. In Psalm 6, David is attributed as the author, and knowing his life as it is revealed in the Old Testament, we can believe that easily. He went through a lot of hardship in his life. And in this psalm, we don't know exactly what the hardship was, but it doesn't take a deep reading to see, wow, he is really struggling. Listen again to what he says in Psalm 6, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Now, if we keep on reading, we'll see that David realizes the help of God, and the whole tone changes. But right there, that shows that a man like David, I mean, we look at David and we say, wow, what a great man he was. He was called a man after God's own heart. And yet David struggled. David had trials that came upon him and made him wonder, can I keep going? And look again at what he said there in verse 6. I am weary with my moaning. And so there were two levels here of struggle for David. One level was the adversity that had come upon him. Maybe it was when Saul was chasing him. I don't know. Maybe he had some kind of physical affliction. But that was one level. He couldn't do anything about that. It came upon him without him wanting it to. But then the second level was, I'm weary. His reaction to what had happened to him. And that's where we are, isn't it? In fact, that's the way God's people always have struggled. There are things that come upon us that we have no control over. We don't want it to happen, but it happens. And it brings about our reaction, which may be weariness. In fact, why do we become weary? There's a lot of things that lead us to that point, why people become weary. A lot of different reasons. We could talk about the daily grind. The daily grind of life. I mean, it gets hard sometimes. Every month, having to come up with the expenses that we need. All the time, just getting by and pressing on. Oh my, another Monday is right here, and we got to go back to work, or dealing with our physical afflictions. It may be unfaithful friends and disappointments that come our way. And that can be a blow. That could make us say, why keep going? I mean, if I can't trust them, who can I trust? And we want to throw in the towel. Illness and death. They come and they afflict us. They come and they take away our loved ones. And it's like the breath has been knocked out of us. And we wonder, how can I keep on going when things like this have occurred? And seeing sin grow stronger all the time in this world. And I dare say, this is not the worst it has been in human history. But for us, it is. For us, we're saying, wow, it's just getting so bad. It takes away our incentive to keep on going. In the New Testament, it recognizes that God's people struggle with that. And over again, there is this constant admonition, don't be wearied. Don't let this get you down. In fact, let me point you to one of those right now. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Not going to look at the context. There's a whole other study in that. But just notice what he says there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The word in the Greek is interesting to look at. It's egkakeo. It's a word that I'm told by those who know the language best. It means to lose one's motivation. To lose one's motivation to accomplish some valid goal. Think of Gabby Douglas, who said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I'm going to go back home and forget about this Olympic dream. She was losing motivation. And it happens to us who are walking this pathway of Christianity. We say, why keep on going? I don't feel the motivation anymore. And we may actually drop out. But you see, it's not always just the trial that comes upon us. That comes. We have no choice about that. But our motivation, we do have a choice. And that's where Paul says, do not grow weary. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. And I'm just going to mention these quickly because it shows there is a recognition that Christians struggle. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, where Paul says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. And it's not always translated as weary. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, and some of us are beginning to realize what this means. He says, we do not lose heart. And lose heart there, translated again from the same word that means weary. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And if it's just looking at our bodies, if it's just a matter of my physical well-being, I don't see a lot of good news the older I get. Because what I once was able to do, I can't do anymore. Or I find it very hard to do. This body is wasting away. But the good news is that's not the whole of the story. The good news is there is an inner person that is being renewed day by day. And that's why Paul can say, let us not lose heart. Because God has revealed information that will keep us going. And then once more, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, where again, Paul talks about this idea of not losing our motivation, not growing weary. He said, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And that's hard sometimes too, isn't it? We read about Christians around the world that are having to suffer for their faith, and maybe it's Christians right here, right in our own area. And we say, man, if that's happening to them, why am I a Christian? Why do I keep on going if these bad things happen to the children of God? And Paul says, let's not lose heart. I don't want you to lose heart when you hear what I'm having to suffer. And we'll talk more about that passage in just a few moments. But you see, these four different passages that we've quickly noted make the point. People of all times who are Christians have struggled. Trials come upon them, or they see the trials coming upon others, and it makes us want to give up. And we say, what's the use? I mean, all these good people are now gone, and how can we possibly keep going? Do not be weary. Do not lose heart. But that's hard, isn't it? And we say, well, how? How can we not lose heart? I mean, you're telling us that, Paul, but how is it possible for me to keep on going even in spite of all of this? And that's where I want you to be turning now to Exodus 17. You may think, wow, that's a pretty strange place to be going for a message like this. But let's go to Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 13. We're going to be talking about reminders for those who are weary. Reminders for those who are weary. And you may be weary right now, but if not, it will happen. It will come your way at one time or another. And here in this account, we're going to find a template, an example that will help us as we struggle with our weariness. Here we are in Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. And you've heard this account many, many times, beginning when you were a child in Bible school. Listen again to what we find there. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Now, Israel has just come out of Egypt. A very short time before this, they are still a band of newly freed slaves. And a nation is now attacking them. The nation is afraid of Israel. They said, we can't let them wander around us. They'll want to come in and take what we've got. So now Amalek has begun fighting Israel. Verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And you may be thinking, well, what good is that? Moses is going to be up there on top of the hill with the staff of God in his hand. They're going to be down there fighting. What good is that? Well, go on. Verse 10. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now think about that. That's miraculous. Obviously, it's the power of God, no doubt about that. But as long as he held the staff of God up in the air, Israel was winning the battle. But how long can you do that? Have you tried to keep your arms raised for any long period of time? I thought about asking you to go ahead and raise them now and just keep them up till the end of the sermon. You're thinking, I know how long you preach, Tim. We're not going to do that. No, we understand, you know, for any long period of time, it's just hard. And that's what we see now when we come to verse 12. But Moses' hands grew weary
So they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with a sword. What could not have happened without help from others happened. He was able to keep his arms up because Aaron and Hur were there with him. They held up his arms, and that gave him strength. And did you notice it said there, his hands became weary? And when his hands became weary, he just had to put them down. I mean, that's all you can do sometimes. You have to put them down. But they were there. They said, we will give you our strength and help you to keep those arms up in the air. I suggest there are lessons there. In fact, I'm going to number four really quickly. As we think about that image of Moses up on top of the hill with his staff raised up over his head and with Aaron on one side and Hur on the other holding his hands up, that's how we can keep from growing weary, even when the trials of life come upon us. Number one, we learn from that incident, there are battles still to be fought. That's why we can't grow weary. There are battles still to be fought. Here was Moses up on top of the hill. My arms are killing me. I've got to put them down. But there's a battle still going on. The enemy is still there. Moses, you've got to find a way to keep that rod up in the air. And you see, that's what we're up against as well. Even though we may grow weary and we may say, I'm going to give it up. Oh, you can't. There's an enemy still. We are still fighting a spiritual battle. We cannot give up. Jesus made that point in Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. Jesus had been telling his disciples what to expect after he was gone. It was not rosy and happy. It was a very bleak picture. And Jesus said, some of you are going to be arrested. Some of you are going to be killed. But then he said this. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 13, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. I mean, that alone would be bad. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. You can't give up. The battle is still going on, and it will keep going on until the day we leave this earth. And so those who are thinking, I can't do this anymore. I'm just weary. No. It's vital that you keep on going. And secondly, we learn from this incident with Moses that we've got to keep going because others depend on us. Others depend on us. Was that not true with Moses? I mean, there was Moses, and all he could think about after a while were his arms. They're killing me. I can't hold him up another second. And yet down there below were all the people of Israel that were fighting against Amalek. And he knew that if I let down my arms, they're going to suffer. Some of them will be killed. I can't. I've got to find a way to keep on going. And again, isn't that what we learn about us in our walk of life and our spiritual walk? That if we do decide, I can't keep going. I'm just going to quit. What's that going to do to other people? What will happen to them if we decide to throw in the towel? Let's go back to that passage in Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we looked at it earlier, but this time we're going to go on a little bit further. And Paul says, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And they were hearing what all Paul had to go through. And some of it was terrible. He was being stoned. He was being put in prison. He was being beaten with rods, with scourges. I mean, it was awful what Paul had to endure. How could they not lose heart? And then he goes on in verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, why did Paul offer that prayer at that point? Because Paul knew that if I give up, if I say this is too hard, I didn't sign up for this kind of abuse, what would it do to others? And so he said, I'm praying for you, even as you hear what's going on against me, I'm praying that you will be strengthened so that you will not give up. And again, you see, that's where we are. How thankful we are that Paul did not give up, because just by seeing his example, we are stirred to do whatever we have to do. I mean, we've never had to suffer anything like that. Can I not do a little bit since Paul did all that he did? Think that others depend on you, because they do. And then once more, a third reason why we should not grow weary or allow that weariness to overwhelm us is that others will come to our aid. It happened with Moses, didn't it? I mean, there was Aaron, there was Hur, and they were there. They saw the problem that was developing. They said, we're here for you, Moses. We're going to stand and we're going to hold your arms so that they will be steady and Israel will win the battle. And without their help, Moses could not have done it. It's true for us as well. We need the help of others, and others will help. It's true that in every good congregation of the Lord's church, there are those disciples that will come to your aid if they know about the problem, if they know what the needs are. And again, Paul talks about this blessing. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look at it from two perspectives. One, when we are not suffering ourselves, let's do what he says to do. And then on the other hand, when we're the ones who are down and on the verge of being weary, let's remember this promise. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And that's the picture we get with Moses and Aaron and Hur, isn't it? They were there to encourage him. They were there to build him up, to let their strength become his strength. And then again in verse 14, he goes on to say, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Christian fellowship is powerful. Christian fellowship is powerful. And just know that when you are facing adversity, when there are trials going on in your life, if you will let it be known, because sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to let anybody know I'm suffering. I'm going to do this by myself. Don't be that way, because none of us can do it alone. There will be others who will help you. And then number four, we learn also from this account with Moses, most importantly, God will strengthen us. Because again, remember, it wasn't Moses that made the difference in that battle. Oh yeah, he had to hold up that rod, but did you see what he said about that rod? It is the rod of the Lord. It is the rod that God told him to stretch out over the Red Sea and it would miraculously part. It was the rod that he struck the rock with and there came water. This was the rod of the Lord. It was God's instrument. It wasn't Moses' strength. It was God's. Yes, Moses had to be a part of it, but it was the power of God ultimately that led to that victory. And the same will be true of us. There will be good people that will come to our side, and you are a good person, but it will take the power of God. Can we count on that? Yes. There are so many promises in the Word of God. Let me point out one that we all love so much, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And yes, it was spoken to a specific situation in history, but this is a principle. It is a timeless principle that God is there for His people. Listen, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we could talk about dozens of other promises like that revealed to us in the Word of God. So will God be there for me if I am suffering simply because I am a Christian, or as a Christian I'm going about my daily life? It's not that I've brought this on myself by sin. No, that's not what we're talking about. But the child of God will find in God help, strength, a refuge. And so when Paul says, do not be weary, do not lose heart, there are reasons we can believe that. No, I could not prevent this terrible thing that happened in my life, but I can prevent crumbling under it. After all, as we have said, the Amalekites were a nation. They likely had an organized army, but Israel was just a newly liberated band of slaves. But with God's power, they overcame those odds. And we can as well. You've been weary physically, I know. You have been out mowing the yard or doing something and you're just tired. And the only thing you want, that's the only thing on your mind, is rest. But we're saying press on. I mean, which is it? I want to rest. I want to find some relief. And you're telling me that we're to keep on pressing on. Is there any solution to that problem? Yes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I want you to read this with me out loud. This is the promise Jesus has made for those who follow Him. Let's read. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't say, we'll stop and just do nothing. He says, take my yoke. That implies there's still work to be done. There are still battles to be fought. But you're not fighting by yourself. You are fighting with the power of the Savior of mankind. That makes all the difference. And I know we all struggle at times. And things that happen just take our breath away. And it makes us wonder, do we keep on going? Do we keep doing what we've done? Don't lose that motivation. Do not be weary. Don't crumble. Let God help you. Let us help you. And this morning, if you're not a child of God, let's begin right there. That's what we're urging you to do, because you need God on your side. If you've heard the gospel and you've heard enough to know, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, then why not act upon that belief this morning? Today, turning away from sin in any form in your life, repenting of it, confessing your faith in Him before others, and today, allowing someone to baptize you into Christ, just like Jesus commanded, and you'll come out of that grave a new creature, forgiven, a child of God. Won't you do that this morning? And if you've done that, and yet you have wandered back into sin, and now you know you are away from God, don't let that condition continue. Come back, repenting of your sins. Let's pray together for God's forgiveness. Whatever we can do, come right now as we stand and sing.